I'm Todd Zwillick with you today. It's The Takeaway. Hollywood is in love with Mars missions and has been for decades.
There's a Martian right behind me.
Range 6783 and closing 65 minutes until Mars orbital capture.
Now this is the plan. Get your ass to Mars.
But this isn't a one-sided love affair. The people trying to mount real-life Mars missions also have a big thing for Hollywood. And that mutual attraction has led NASA to enter into cooperative liaisons with filmmakers dealing not just with Mars, but with all kinds of movies depicting space travel and astronaut life. Films like Tomorrowland and Interstellar, and this week's big release, The Martian. The movie is based on the novel by Andy Weir of the very same title. It's about an astronaut marooned on the Red Planet and his inventive methods for survival. And long before the movie was even in development, NASA team members were huge fans of the book and even reached out to Andy Weir while on a mission with the International Space Station to tell him about it.
Christmas Eve, I want to say 2012, the astronauts on ISS had to do an emergency spacewalk to repair a water system fault. And so everyone in Mission Control was in kind of hurry up and wait mode. It was going to be about 6 hours, but they all had to be there and ready and stuff. And so they got to talking about the Martian. And so they sent me email saying like, hey, we're all here at Mission Control just chatting about your book. Thought you should know. That was a really nice Christmas present for me.
Once production on The Martian started, NASA gave the film crew access to their scientists, their advisors, equipment, and their headquarters. Now, sure, NASA loves stuff that makes its projects look good, but it's more than that. There's some cultural engineering going on here. Hollywood has a long history of helping government convince the public to go along with, say, the war effort or anti-communism. NASA wants to send humans to Mars by 2030, and it is by far the most expensive and dangerous thing the agency has ever tried. And maybe you won't be blasting off for Mars, but it's your tax dollars, and they still need you on board. Now, back on Earth, NASA and the filmmakers of The Martian even agreed to share the Twitter hashtag Journey to Mars to promote their respective projects. It is, to say the least, a mutually beneficial relationship between The Martian and NASA. And Bert Ulrich, multimedia liaison for film and TV collaborations at NASA, says that considering the book's superfans at the agency, it was inevitable.
You know, the book at Johnson, it's really recommended reading for all employees there. It's something that really has energized people on a very deep level.
Bert Ulrich, we're told in part of the hype for this movie, which NASA is part of, that there's a lot of realistic science and technology at play here.
Yeah, you know, when someone gets involved with us for a film, we often have a script review. So Ridley submitted his script for this, which was written by Drew Goddard for this film. And we were very excited about it. We knew about the book. And we had our Mars office actually start looking at the script. And Ridley had a bazillion questions that he presented to Martians, what we call Martians at NASA, in particular, two scientists, Jim Green and Dave Lavery. And both of them consulted on the film. And basically, Ridley asked all sorts of questions, as did his production designer, Arthur Max. Arthur Max visited the Johnson Space Center to learn more about what was happening at NASA in terms of what we were doing to go to Mars in the 2030s. And there were a lot of similarities in the book, but also differences. And so it was really sort of a love at first sight, I think, in a lot of ways.
So let's bring it back down to Earth, because some of this is really important for NASA, you know, to get its science, its enthusiasm into popular culture so that the rest of us will be into what you do.
You know, NASA's kind of formed under something called the Space Act, and there's something in the Space Act that tells us NASA employees that we have to reach out to the widest practicable audience is actually the quote-unquote that they use. And that idea permeates here, that we try to share as much information as possible with the public, be it, you know, via news, be it via whatever vehicle. And film and television is also a really important way if people want to do interesting projects with us. And we're open to them a lot of the time.
Of course, we all know back when films like Top Gun got made, you know, Navy jets flying around, aircraft carriers, the U.S. Navy, for good reason, this isn't hard to understand, put a lot of resources and a lot of effort into participating in that film because it promoted the Navy. And that makes sense, and it was a huge blockbuster. NASA, of course, it's in your mandate to interact with the public in the best practicable way, but this seems like there's also a lot at stake for NASA, given the number of billions it's going to cost and the real risks that are going to be involved in 2030 for a great mission to Mars.
Well, you know, there are our goal is to reach Mars in the 2030s, and I think there's a real interest to really take advantage of this wonderful opportunity that this movie's out there to really tell people what Mars exploration is all about in reality at NASA. I mean, the film is all about NASA. I mean, and when you ask people that work at NASA, be it an astronaut, a scientist, an engineer, or whatever, often you hear them say that the reason that they pursued the careers that they are in now was because of, you know, a Star Trek episode or, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey or Star Wars. So I think that there's a lot of this sort of cross, you know, fertilization that's going on between, you know, sci-fi and also more realistic depictions of space exploration and NASA.
So Ridley Scott has said that he was informed, I think, up to 2 months before the public was about this great discovery about water on present-day Mars, that he found out about it, I guess, from the researchers before the paper had ever come out into the public. And that's a pretty telling little factoid there, that the filmmaker, who you guys are so close to, knew about this science before anybody else did. What does that tell us about the relationship?
I have no idea about that, quite frankly. I know that The Guardian came out with that, and I read it, and I was like, I didn't know that. So I have no idea what sort of who Ridley Scott is actually talking to.
So the Ridley Scott leak isn't on you, in other words.
No.
Look, the filmmakers of The Martian got a lot of help from the smart people at NASA, and as it turns out, NASA might get a lot of help, too, from the smart people in the film business. Bert Ulrich, multimedia liaison for film and TV collaborations at NASA. Bert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.